You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi, and he's John English, the Germs guy. Good Friday morning to you, John.
Top of the morning to you, Alan.
The day after the 4th, and a happy 4th to all of you, America's birthday, holiday, whatever we celebrate. Happy 4th. Happy nation. Devin, and how be you?
I'm tired. Fireworks should be banned, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about basketball.
Yeah, fireworks should be banned, and puppies doing things at 11 o'clock at night that you have to deal with should be banned.
Yeah, but I'm not banning puppies.
Okay, so. Fine. Yeah, we don't need to ban puppies.
Guys, stuff happened.
Yes, yes.
We went from a good playoff team to, no joke, a contender.
All in a matter of days.
And I'm not the one saying that. National media is saying that.
Almost every single one of them.
How are you guys feeling?
I'm feeling great.
I'm feeling quite good.
Honestly, after a little bit, I kind of started to got nervous that maybe expectations are going to be set too high. But I think in the Jazz being contenders now, what it really means is there's going to be five or six West teams that all finish between 56 and 54 wins. And if Jazz is a 56-win team, then, hey, they're the number one seed, and we can go on.
But right.
It's pretty cool to just watch how quickly the franchise was able to turn us from a first-round exit into NBA finals are a very real possibility.
And kudos to Dennis Liz. See, I was going to mix two names here. I was going to say Dustin's Lanik or something. I don't know. Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck. Wow. I'm struggling with names this morning, but good job to the two of them for putting together quite a furious week of signings and trades and everything.
It was some fine work by Lustin Janik. And I'd like to know. So let's look at what we had to give up real quick. We get Conley. In the process, we throw Jay Crowder. We throw Kyle Korver. We throw Grayson Allen. I like saying that I threw Grayson Allen. That one actually sounds kind of fun. Did we do any picks with that as well?
Yeah,
I thought we did.
Yes. Yes, we did.
The 23 pick this year, who was Darius Bazley, and then a protected first round pick that probably won't convey for another couple of years.
And which is good for Memphis, considering, you know, in case the Jazz do drop off in that time frame, it could be a higher pick for them, depending on the scenario. And by the way, you know, we'll get to all of the other moves later, but Kyle Korver is no longer Memphis now. He's ended up on Phoenix, who will likely buy him out of his contract too. So, you know, Kyle's been on the move.
Okay, so looking at that, are you guys happy with that? Did the Jazz give up too much? Would we have been better off?
Far better than what I was expecting at trade deadline. I'll take it.
Yeah?
What they were asking at the trade deadline was too much. Way too much. So I when this trade went down, we're still paying an awful lot of money for a guy who is aging and somebody who I've considered on the decline. If he proves me wrong this year, even better. But we didn't have to give up nearly as much as they were asking for at trade deadline.
And here's the thing. His contract is something that scared me. But if the Jazz truly are contenders, truly are, and we have a shot at a title for the next 2 years, it's worth paying him that money. I'll admit, I was skeptical about it. I still am slightly concerned about health. But, you know, with the buzz around the Jazz, I'm comfortable with it now. I've come to terms.
What about you, John?
Yeah, the Jazz now have a 2-year window. And they've set up their contracts where in 2 years, most of the guys on the roster right now are going to be free agents. So they've continually showing they're good at long and short-term planning. You look at who's given us problems. It's Houston. We got a big upgrade at point guard. We ought to be able to handle them. I was nervous the pieces we gave up when we did get Mike Conley, but all of those pieces have been filled better than I thought they were going to be.
Yes.
Bogdanović, great scorer. Jazz were able to get him because Pacers weren't willing to guarantee his fourth year. So they got him, Ed Davis, who I just think is just an ideal big off the bench.
Yes.
Jeff Green, who's been great. Emmanuel Mudiay, who's really struggled at the beginning of the NBA career, but he seemed to show a lot of improvement last year, and he is the ideal project to throw into the Jazz player development system and make an NBA player out of him. I'm just tickled that they were able to make all the moves that they made.
And by the way, Bogdanović wasn't the first choice either, but I loved that the backup was there. Justin Zanuck and Dennis Lindsay had a backup plan, assuming the guy they wanted wasn't there, and Mirotić wasn't there. Mirotić decided to go overseas, which really just that news just blew me away. I like, wait a minute. And it's funny because I stepped back and went, wait a minute, isn't that a guy we've wanted? And then within hours, I don't even think within hours, within minutes, there comes the news. Okay, we can't have Mirotić. We'll take Bogdanović. Next up.
How do you guys feel about the contract? Bogdanović, we threw, what, $76 million at roughly over 4 years. Is that right?
Yeah, he's making $18 million a year for the next 4 years.
How are you guys feeling? Are you comfortable with that? Is that a good investment? I mean, he's about 30 years old, if I remember correctly.
I'm okay with that. Look at what he's done for Indiana the last year and a, you know, he was very good for Indiana. So if we get that production out of him, we've got a deal.
Especially when he carried the load. Because remember when Depot went out, we all had this conversation on the podcast, what happens to the Pacers? And we said, oh, they're going to fall. They're going to fall. And then they didn't. They actually played very well. And that is now your fourth best player on the team?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if someone's number one option, you know, hanging around into the playoffs and doing quite well is now your fourth option, I think you've done something right.
Now, we've talked about what they've gained. John, let's talk about the casualties, because there have been some casualties in the process.
There have been, but let me make one more point before we go to that. Okay. Last year, the guys we picked up, Mike Conley, 21 points a game, 6.4 assists. Bogdanović, 18 points a game, shooting 42.5% from three. Jeff Green, 12.3 points a game, coming off the bench. Emmanuel Mudiay, 14.8 points, 3.9 assists. And then Ed Davis, averaging 8.6 rebounds on 17.9 minutes a game. All of those are very solid contributors.
Yes, they are.
Now, that means that the Jazz have lost a few players to make room for them.
And one thing I want to point out, Ed Davis. Not just his rebounds, but when it comes to like his defensive rating, where he was second in the league behind Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
That's what surprised me when Portland had to give him up. Where did he end up from Portland? He moved to Brooklyn. That's what surprised me, because he had been so good for Portland.
Yeah, he had been. But, you know, they got Nurkic, so they felt okay about letting him go.
Yeah. All right. Casualties.
The Jazz do lose Derek Favors. He's been the heart of the team. He's been here for, 9 years? I mean, that's a giant, giant piece, and we'll all miss him. And I'm really glad that they were able to work something out where he had a choice in where he was going. So he's joining that suddenly new, refreshed, revitalized Pelicans team. He'll be a vet with Drew Holiday to help with all the young guys, with Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson and Lonzo Ball and all them. But yeah, he's the biggest one. With Favors leaving, that means Gobert is now the longest tenured Jazz man.
Wow.
And then, you know, I really liked Jay Crowder's heart and hustle. I don't think the loss of him will be that bad, because he was one of our most inconsistent shooters. Kyle Korver, you know, Jazz favorite. He was here. He left. He came back. Great 3-point shooter. I think age is just catching up to him. Hal Netto, who's been this terrific point guard with us, who kind of had to take a step back, got a lot of DNPs, also had some health issues. But it's always been nice to have him as part of the show. And I always like the budding relationship between him and Rudy. A lot of guys that, am I forgetting someone? Oh yeah. And Grayson Allen. I don't think Jazz Nation really got attached to him, although I was really excited about his 40-point game that said, okay, maybe there's some signs of life, but I wish him well in his future endeavors.
And of course, I don't know if you mentioned, but Ricky Rubio, saying goodbye to Ricky. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Ricky and Derek have been, and Neto, but Ricky and Derek specifically, like you mentioned, Derek's been the heart and soul, and so has Ricky. Ricky has been a community guy, and it was very hard having to let them go and say goodbye. They were both favorites, and they were both beloved by fans. And they both worked hard and play hard every night. And you can't expect any less from that. And both of them, I think I'm happy for both of them in their scenarios. I mean, it's a little bit of a tough draw for Ricky down in Phoenix, because I don't know it's a great scenario. But he got paid, he got a contract down there. And then, like you said, but with Derek, the Jazz working out a deal to do right by Derek, get him where he's happy and he's close to home. I don't think that scenario could have worked out any better for Derek. And so, yeah, goodbye to both, but we love you guys and we're going to miss you.
And see, here's the thing. It did work out ideally almost for everyone. Korver's going to get bought out from Phoenix. He's going to get to go wherever he wants. He's going to get to contend if that's what he wants, or he's going to get a pick to go to a team where he's going to be a contributor and, you know, a mentor.
Or he can retire.
Right. Ricky got paid way more than the Jazz were going to be willing to pay him, and way more than even the Pacers were willing to pay him, because the Pacers chose not to go that route. Jay ends up in Memphis, where he can have even a bigger contributing role. He's part of a rebuild.
Right.
And he brings that grit and grind back to the city of grit and grind. Grayson Allen gets put on a young team, rebuild. He'll have more time because he was not going to see a lot of time with the Jazz. It is what it is. And Derek Favors gets to play his ideal position at the center. He gets more minutes. He gets an important role. He gets to be a mentor. I hate that he's in the West, so that's my biggest struggle. But I think it's a good fit for Derek.
Yeah.
But I will say this, because we are 2 years removed from a situation that I think most Jazz fans would say was the most heartbreaking situation they've been in since maybe the retiring of Stockton. I would say the retiring of Malone, but I had this bad dream where he went to another team. And anyway, Derek Favors leaving, I think, is harder for me than Gordon Hayward leaving 2 years ago. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but for me, this is more difficult to process because the Jazz had to make the choice to move him. He didn't choose to leave us. We chose to move on from him. And that's very tough for me.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see him retire, you know. Yeah.
Agreed.
With a Utah jersey. And I wanted to see us lift a banner with him and eventually have his jersey in the rafters, because he's been the guy. I mean, through this rebuild, he's been the guy. When you think about it, he was right there when D. Will left. He was the guy who came in and filled in, and he went through the Ty Corbin years. He went through those early years of Quinn, and we're just getting to the point of contention. And it's like, man, I wish Favors could be there to see us through it. So I'm going to struggle with it. It's going to be very difficult to see him in a Pelicans jersey. But you know, part of me wants to go down to New Orleans and watch a game,
right,
and support him there. And so I think we need to make this happen. It's a
road trip.
It's a conversation we need to have. A Jazz on Jets or something.
Yeah.
Event. Jazz fans go and support him.
There you go. There you go. So, anyway, I'm going to transition to the rest of the trades here and the rest of the talk with a statement. HB Paroxysm on Twitter said something the other day. I ended up retweeting it or quote tweeting it because I agree. So here we are as Jazz fans, and we're going, the narrative is now out. The Jazz are contenders. They made all these moves to become contenders. Yes, this is a feel-good story. This is everything good like that. And then the Lakers make some moves and suddenly become contenders. And now, Jazz fans, hold that narrative for a minute. Now we're on shaky ground. And that's dependent all on Kawhi Leonard in reality. But is there something to be said of that, John? Because we're gonna start talking about other moves now and other signings. And why is it that the Lakers always have to one-up the Jazz? Or it always feels that way, doesn't it?
They haven't.
Here's the thing. If they get Kawhi, that's a tragedy for the rest of the NBA. And they they do still need to fill out that roster. But even then, I would take comfort in going, I really don't know if all three of those guys are going to be healthy in the playoffs.
Okay.
The Jazz have a very deep team right now.
Right.
The Lakers, if they get Kawhi, okay, who's the fifth guy on that team? You know, all they have right now is LeBron,
Jared Dudley.
Yeah. AD, Jared Dudley. Kyle Kuzma, Jared Dudley, Troy Daniels. And there are some free agents out there that I think are just kind of waiting to see where Kawhi Leonard goes. You know, Danny Green hasn't signed anywhere. Marcus Morris is still out there. Kelly Oubre isn't signed. You know, there's a lot of guys that will fill in some pieces somewhere and be valuable. But man, I hate that Kawhi hasn't made his decision when we're recording, because that really does affect a lot of the landscape of the NBA.
Well, you know what will happen? We're going to finish recording here shortly.
And Woj is going to drop a bomb.
He's going to announce it, and we're going to go, man.
Yeah, Woj will drop that bomb. But in reality, I'm going to ask, before we talk about the rest of the moves, but John, Devin, quick answer. Does he stay? What is his decision? I think he stays Toronto.
I don't know. I wish I could give you an answer.
I have no idea.
I think he wants to go back to L.A. really bad.
Probably.
I think he's seen what happened when Kevin Durant went and joined an already existing super team, and that he is going to get that backlash.
But by the way, he's being schmoozed by two LA teams, though.
Right. I don't know. But if you're going to go to the Clippers, I mean, you must really just want to be in LA. If you're going to pass on LeBron and AD, I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay.
Thing is, I mean, if he goes to the Clippers and wins a ring there, what does that do for his legacy? He already has a solid one. He's got two rings from two different teams where he was the guy on those runs. I don't know if he really wants to go to LA and just become, you know, an NBA villain and do the Durant thing when Durant joined the Warriors. I think him joining the Lakers is very similar.
And the reasons are completely different, though. Durant wanted to join Golden State because Durant wanted a championship and hadn't gotten one yet. Kawhi's got two. Kawhi has, let's be fair, Kawhi has done what very few other players have done, and he's got his two championships. He's done ring chasing. Let's be fair. Like, he can win a ring wherever he goes if he wants, but he's done ring chasing.
Well, here's the thing. Wherever he goes, we do know it's not going to be New York City.
Right.
Because the Knicks passed on a meeting with Kawhi.
Yes. I think they did that because they felt that LA had already schmoozed him enough and they don't have a chance.
If you get a meeting,
I think the Knicks are awful.
They are.
That's kind of like, well, we don't think Kevin Durant, we don't know how he'll be after this injury, so we're going to sign Julius Randle and Bobby Portis and Taj Gibson.
Well, and I'm going to say this too. We love you, Tony Jones. We love you very much, Tony Jones. And we know how you feel, or at least we sympathize with your circumstances right now. My goodness,
I'm not attacking.
Wow,
Tony.
No, I know we're not, but I'm just saying I sympathize with him right now because he's watching as a fan as his team is just in disarray.
I'm encouraging him to have a second team out west that he watches the games anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we kind of round it up? Because we had a ton of moves.
Yeah. I got a list here. So I just wanted to go through what the teams went through. But I'll just go ahead and start with the Knicks. Not only did they cancel a meeting with Kawhi, but they said that they weren't prepared to offer Kevin Durant the full max. Why would you say those two things out loud?
Right?
I mean, you're already the biggest joke in the NBA, but now you come out and say, by the way, here's more evidence that we truly are the biggest joke in the NBA. So, okay, let's go. Okay, I'm going to go through the East. So the Hawks, they trade for Chandler Parsons. The Hawks are continually to take on bad contracts to stock up future assets while they already have this terrific young core with Trae Young and Collins and all those guys.
Oh, and they picked up, don't forget the trade. They picked up, was it, who did they pick up in the trade? They sent Bazemore to?
Oh, they got
Portland.
What did they get? Harkless? Who did they get?
Yeah, I think they sent Bazemore to Portland, and I think they got Harkless in return.
Yeah, but I think he ended up getting...
No,
yeah.
Turner.
No, Turner, that's right. Turner, that's right. That's what it was. Harkless isn't there. It's Turner.
Yeah. Okay, so, Harkless and Myers-Leonard were part of that trade. somewhere else. Who did Portland get in that one? We'll get to it. Okay, so Hawks get, they get Chandler Parsons and all that. Boston Celtics, they lose Horford. They get Walker to a 4-year max deal. Cantor is on his way to the Celtics. That's just funny. Yeah. So, yeah. So, okay, they lose Kyrie Irving, who wasn't that great a leader. Kemba, I think, is a much better locker room guy. Not quite as good a player as Kyrie, but he's still pretty decent. But losing Horford, I think, really is really going to affect the Celtics.
Right.
On to the Brooklyn Nets. They get Kevin Durant. Now, he won't play this year. They get Kyrie Irving. He is an upgrade over D'Angelo Russell. They get DeAndre Jordan. I'm not really sure what he is at this point, but hopefully him and Jared Allen can coexist. They also got Garrett Temple. Wilson Chandler's on his way to the Nets. The Nets are building up a very nice team this year. They were in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
They look like guaranteed playoffs this year and then contenders next year when Durant comes back. Charlotte Hornets, they're still in just cap space hell with all the bad contracts they have. They wind up giving away Kemba Walker in a sign and trade and get Terry Rozier for $19 million a year. I think Charlotte's a disaster right now. They just need all those contracts to expire, and then maybe they can do something. Okay, Bulls added Satoransky from the Wizards, which tells you that Chris Dunn is probably on shaky ground there. They also got Thaddeus Young. Cavaliers haven't done squat. I imagine they're just kind of hanging out, waiting to see if they can trade Kevin Love for something. Who knows? Pistons, Markieff Morris signs there. Derrick Rose signs there. Frazier signs there. Which Frazier would that be? I'm not sure who that
one is. Tim Frazier?
I think so.
Tim Frazier? Yeah, okay. Pacers got Malcolm Brogdon, which is a good compensation if you're going to lose Bojan Bogdanovic. They also got Jeremy Lamb. And they also got TJ McConnell. I was surprised TJ McConnell was out there that
same
long before he got scooped up. Heat got rid of Whiteside. That's what it was. Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard went from Portland to the Heat so they could get rid of Whiteside. Let's see. Bucks, they did re-sign Middleton.
Hold up.
What?
The Heat got one more piece. You mentioned the Heat.
Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler. Duh. I saw Butler and my mind instantly went to Razul and so I was ready to skip it. You're right. The Heat got Jimmy Butler. and that is big, and he'll be the man in Miami. And Miami was a bubble playoff team last year. They probably should be this year because the East is the East. Once you get past the first four or five teams, it's a free-for-all. Okay, Bucks. Re-sign Middleton, re-sign Brooke Lopez, pick up Robin Lopez, re-sign George Hill, and they add Wes Matthews.
Yep.
So there you go. The George Hill, Wes Matthews. We got the Milwaukee Jazz going on. Knicks, because they totally screwed up everything, they just signed a bunch of guys to 1 or 2 year deals. They got Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Taj Gibson, and Reggie Bullock, and Wayne Ellington, and Payton. Is that Gary Payton too?
Or no, Alfred.
No, it's Alfred Payton.
It's Alfred.
Alfred Payton. Magic, they re-signed Vucevic, they re-signed Ross. I don't know about this one. I mean, Orlando finally barely made the playoffs as the 8th seed, and they're just running it all back. I would have thought they would have tried to move on and improve, but I guess they're just going to see if they can keep the trajectory going with who they have. They did get Aminu, which is decent. The Sixers, they may have lost Jimmy Butler. They may have lost J.J. Redick, but they got Al Horford. I think that's huge. They kept Tobias Harris. They got Josh Richardson in the trade for Butler. They got Kyle O'Quinn, and also that's where Halmeto is going to, is to the Sixers.
Yeah.
Raptors are just kind of in a holding pattern waiting to see what Kawhi does. I imagine if Kawhi resigns, they'll probably get Danny Green too. And then
of course, their big man did resign with them. Oh my gosh. Why did I just lose it?
Gasol.
Thank you. Gasol signed an extension, I think.
Oh, you're right.
So, and now, and I wonder if Danny Green is waiting on Kawhi too, because if Kawhi stays, then Danny would probably stay, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
But thing is, Toronto's over the cap already, I thought.
Yes, they are.
You know, we'll see what happens here. If they're making moves, it's probably just moving people out.
Right.
Otherwise, this is the team, so we'll see.
Is that all of the East?
And then the Wizards signed Isaiah Thomas.
Yes.
So
good for him.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now to the West, rest of the West.
Okay. The West, Dallas. They signed Porzingis to a max deal. They got Boban. They got Powell. They got JJ Barea agreed to return. Maxi Kleber agreed to return. They got Seth Curry. So they're like shoring up with a lot of little pieces.
Second stint for Seth Curry, by the way.
Yeah. Nuggets haven't really done much. They don't really need to. They signed Jamal Murray to a max extension. They did keep Paul Millsap on his $30 million option. Warriors, they got D'Angelo Russell. And as soon as this deal was made, a lot of people are saying they made this deal so that they can trade in midseason. Which, if I'm Russell, I'm like, well, thanks, guys. Yeah. But yeah, they need someone to run the backcourt with Steph Curry until Klay Thompson returns.
Right.
So they got Kevon Looney re-signed, Klay re-signed. They picked up Willie Cauley-Stein. They added Glenn Robinson III, which is just sounds like a typical Warriors bench move. But without Iguodala, without Durant, Klay missing most of the year, the Warriors are just not going to be who they were before.
And of course, that mentions there that, yeah, they ship out Andre Iguodala, which I think surprised a few people too.
Mm-hmm.
So does Memphis buy him out?
No, they try to trade him.
Okay.
If they buy him out, they buy him out at the trade deadline.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Who else? Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
On to Houston. Houston, there was stories that they were going to try to move Capella and Tucker and Gordon to see if they could get Jimmy Butler. That didn't happen. There's also been stories about how there's a rift just growing between Chris Paul and James Harden. Houston is in disarray, but they haven't really re-signed anyone new. They've just been re-signing the guys that have already been with them, such as Austin Rivers got another 2 years. On to Clippers. Clippers are the ones that actually wound up with Mo Harkless. They wound up getting that as part of the trade with Miami. That's how that all worked out. And then also Pat Beverly has agreed to return to the Clippers. Other than that, they seem to be holding their powder dry in case they get Kawhi. Lakers, you know, obviously the AD trade. And then Troy Daniels and Jared Dudley, we talked about that. Memphis, they finally got rid of Parsons. They do get Iguodala. They re-signed Jonas Valanciunas to a four-year deal. They also picked up DeAndre Melton in the trade. And who did they? They got Josh Jackson from the Suns. Josh Jackson,
yes,
number four pick, hasn't done squat with the Suns. He's had off-court issues. Maybe he can be reformed in Memphis. Jordan Bell joined the Minnesota Timberwolves. They also signed Noah Vonleh. And they also got Jake Layman from Portland. So little pieces that seem to be improving there. It just seems like Minnesota needs to do something drastic. I keep wondering if this is the year they just trade Wiggins for some other big piece. In fact, well, I'll get to that on another time. Kind of got running out of time here. Pelicans had a great offseason. When you lose Anthony Davis, you get a ton of pieces in return, tons of picks in return, and you're adding Derek Favors and J.J. Redick to that core, and then Melly from overseas is supposed to be a good deal. So Pelicans, I would not be surprised at all if they have a better record this year than they did last year.
League pass team, right? I mean that's a team you pick up.
Absolutely.
And you watch.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, they're pretty deep. It's impressive what they've been able to do. Thunder, Mike Muscala joined them. They got Alec Burks and they're keeping Nerlens Noel. So, you know, okay, kind of quiet.
Happy for Burks. For them.
Happy for Burks. Jasmine going all over the place. So on to the Phoenix Suns where Ricky Rubio went, got a raise. Join the Suns. Suns also picked up Frank Kaminsky, and although the Suns did wind up with Korver, he'll probably get waived.
Yes.
And I think Ricky will be a good mentor for Booker, just a good, you know, companion.
I think we already mentioned Portland, and the one thing you didn't mention about Portland is another former Jazz man got an extension as well. Rodney Hood.
Hood resigns. Lillard got extended. They also got Tolliver, and then who knows how the Whiteside thing's going to go with them.
Right.
Kings. They got Trevor Ariza. They got Corey Joseph. They added Dwayne Dedman. They got a deal with Holmes. I'm not sure who that is.
I'm not sure either.
Let's see. Okay. Spurs. They re-signed Rudy Gay and they added Damari Carroll. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the Jazz with all the incredible things they did. So yep. There you go.
I do need to say one thing. You said that that Ricky's going to be a good fit for Booker in Phoenix, and I'm just imagining Ricky being like, "This is how you pass," and Booker's like, "This is how you shoot," and there's just no progress. Like that should be a reality show, should it not? One trying to teach the other.
Yeah.
I don't know what's funnier, the scenario or you're trying to talk in a Ricky accent. That was hilarious.
I am Ricky Rubio. I am Ricky Rubio.
Anyway, that's the NBA in a round out. I think we wanted to touch on the awards, but do we want to wait or do you want to just hit the highlights real fast?
The awards are kind of old news at this point, but MVP was Giannis, rookie was Luka, defense player of the year was Rudy, most improved player was Pascal Siakam, coach of the year was Mike Budenholzer. Sixth Man of the Year, Lou Williams. Executive of the Year, Horst from the Bucks. The NBA Cares Award went to Bradley Beal. The Teammate of the Year went to Mike Conley. The Sportsmanship of the Year Award went to Mike Conley. Lifetime Achievement Award, I don't know what that is. It went to Bird and Magic. The Sager Strong Award went to Robin Roberts. The Hustle Award went to Marcus Smart. And the Moment of the Year was Derrick Rose scoring 50 points on the Jazz.
Yeah.
Anyway. Any objections? I'm pretty good with that, but I have one.
I have issues with the Moment of the Year, but I'm not going to touch on it, so it's okay.
No, I was just because mine is the Executive of the Year. Because when you make that giant move to land Kawhi and you win it all, you know, to me, you know.
That should be the executive.
That should be the executive of the year. Yes. And not only did you do that, you got Gasol too.
Yeah, but keep in mind these are all voted on at the end of the regular season. And as far as the voters knew, the Raptors were going to be a second round exit.
That's fair.
Right.
Maybe we should put we shouldn't push them back. They're regular season awards. I apologize.
Yep. So.
Okay. Any of you guys watch Summer League? You want to touch on that?
I have not.
The court was nice. The logo was nice. Some of the guys seem like they'll be interesting prospects. But at this point, it's not big news to me because I'm so focused on everything else happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
And anyone you like?
I think of the three second rounders that we signed, Brantley has looked the best overall.
Okay.
But it's like, who looks good enough to be the 13th guy on the roster?
Right.
So.
Right.
That's kind of what it is. So Brantley had a good game. JWF had a good game. Oni finally had a good game in day three. I've just kind of been looking at their box scores. I mean, Tony Bradley has expectedly looked good in the ones that he's played. Apparently he's really good in G League. So who knows?
Sorry, Summer League. You've been upstaged. You've been upstaged by free agency. What can we say?
So let me ask. Yeah. You get the 13 roster spots, but then there's still the two-way spots that are available, right?
Right. I mean, you can sign a full 15 and then have 16th and 17th be two ways, the way Naz Long and Tyler Cavanaugh were last year.
Okay.
So I would think one of Oni and JWF will be a two-way players. It is possible the two of them could make the 15-man roster. My guess is Brantley gets number 13. And they leave it open for another free agent down the road.
All right.
Yeah. Sounds fair. All right. Last but not least on our show today, pop culture. John, you saw a movie.
I saw yesterday. It was pleasant. It was fluffy. It's from the writer of Love, Actually. It's a scenario where there's a global worldwide blackout when the lights come back on. There's one struggling musician who happens to be the only guy on earth who remembers the Beatles or any of their songs. So he becomes a international superstar by recording them. I thought it was fun. It was funny. It's not that consequential, but it is very pleasant to watch. And there's a couple surprises they had that I kind of enjoyed. So yeah, it's worth seeing. If dollar theaters were still a thing, I'd say you can probably wait for that. But
hey, they still are.
I liked it.
They still are. Kaysville Theater. It's $2.
but I mean, as far as a movie, it's if you go see this, you're seeing it for the music, right? I mean, this is you're basically just going to watch the soundtrack and have a little bit of a storyline put to it.
You're going for the music and a PG romance, and that's what you're going for.
All right. I saw a movie, watched Netflix's original film, I Am Mother, directed by Grant Sputori, and I don't even know who that is, never heard of him, not familiar with his work, starring Clara Rugard or Rugard. She's Danish, and I think this is the first one I've ever seen her in. And Rose Byrne, who some from Star Wars would remember her as Dorme in Attack of the Clones, and then Hilary Swank. The show follows this girl. Her name is Clara. She's post-apocalyptic, in a post-apocalyptic bunker. And so for a while, all you see is the inside of this bunker, and it's high-tech, technology, futuristic, mass embryos of humans in there, and this robot raises her and becomes her mother. So we kind of watch her go through. In the early part of the film, we watch her grow up. The show I enjoyed a lot. I thought that Rugard did really well as Clara. I like Hilary Swank, and so I liked her in this role. The show is definitely a good see. I think people should watch this because I really enjoyed it. I'm trying to think. I know we're on a time crunch, but I'm trying to think of how to describe it. But it's intense. It's a little slow to start with, but if you blink, you miss things that end up being important down the stretch of the show. I think it's worth time. So if anybody's got time to head out to Netflix and check out I Am Mother, I've wanted to see this since the trailer was first released on YouTube about 2 months ago. So it's worth the time.
Yeah.
So, but, and just so everybody knows too, I know I've been saying this, but I saw Good Omens on Amazon Prime. Folks, go watch it. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's great. It's based on a book by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. So it's 6 episodes, quick watch. It's really good. That's it for pop culture. Devin, you have anything you wanted to add?
I watched Always Be My Maybe on Netflix.
That's good show.
That may be the best rom-com they've put out.
That is a very good show.
And so if you haven't seen it, I would recommend it. There's a nice cameo in there that I was totally not expecting. But you'll love it, and you may recognize it. Someone's Abby on Twitter once you see it. I really like that. And then, of course, this week, I'm sure we will all be binging Stranger Things. And we'll talk to you guys about that next week.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
All right. Anything else to add?
Nope.
All right. Thank you all for joining us for another episode of Jedi and Germs. We appreciate you being along. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts. Please take some time to leave us a review and continue to join us on Facebook and Twitter. Constant discussions. We appreciate the feedback. Thank you. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.